The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday, and welcome back. End of another week, and we have one more week to go. 17 days? Let me take a look here. Keep losing track. 17 days until the election. I think that's what it is. Let me find out here. I've got a number counter on the home page, so you can check it. 17 days it is until the election. There are still many days left for some major surprises to occur, and I just have this feeling that there are going to be quite a number of them. We did get note earlier, allegedly from WikiLeaks, that Julian Assange is okay in the Ecuadorian embassy. He's healthy, he's feeling good, but he is cut off from the world. He is basically now a self-exiled prisoner without the internet, without telephone, with food, but that's it. So they're trying to drive him out of there. I had a report earlier today that there were a number of armed British police around the embassy, but that didn't play out. There are also, as you know, so many news stories now, and a lot of lies, a lot of disinformation. And I'm not just talking about what comes out of Hillary Clinton's mouth, I'm talking about the media at large. So when you see something, be careful. Go slowly. Do your own research. We try to do our research here when we can to keep everything at least worthy of your consideration. Can't say it's all true. Can't say it's all false, but we certainly think it's worth taking a look at. Going to spend some time tonight with our friend and colleague, Harry Cooper, who is just back from his latest patrol to Europe. And this is going to be fun. We have so many pictures. He did so many things this trip with the people that went with him that we're going to do another edition next week. So this is going to be kind of a two-part expedition. And all of us get to go along by simply loading the pictures. Look under Harry Cooper's name and guests at Rents and load them up and get ready to go. I haven't peeked because I like to go into things brand new and sort of just for the first time. It's really like taking a trip with Harry. It's fun. We should probably call it Travels with Harry. How are you?
I'm excited to watch the show today. Boy, after that intro.
I'll just sit back and watch. Now, since Admiral Cooper, when they bring a flag officer on board a ship, what do they do? What's the tradition?
Well, they pipe you aboard with the bosun's pipe. They also have side boys. They line up, depending on the size of the ship, they line up a whole bunch of sailors in their whites along the rail.
Well, I'm going to pipe you on board with my, what is it, a bosun's what?
Bosun's pipe.
All right. You ready?
All right. I'm not sure kind of what Navy that's from, but
that's my close. Navy. Well, we have to. We try.
We always have fun on your show, anyhow.
It's either that or fire off a few rounds from my 38 here, but I don't want to put holes in the ceiling.
No.
Okay. Now, this was an unusual trip for a number of reasons. Tell us about it in an overview, and then we'll get to the pictures. But this you always have fabulous trips, and everybody who's ever gone on one comes back changed for the better. They see the world in a way that they never did before. Not only do you go back into history to look at World War II and all the remnants that remain in Europe and things that haven't even been found yet, you find. But this was a special trip. Yeah. What was special about this trip?
Well, we had some last minute changes in our itinerary, and so we went places on this trip that we had never been before. Not so much on what we're going to see today, because this will be the first week of our 2-week tour. But we had a lot of, this was one of the best groups I've ever had. Everybody got along great. Everybody was of the same mindset. Two of the people on the trip, this was their third patrol with us, and one fellow,
wow,
Bill Napier, who's
wow,
a combat veteran, U.S. Marine, this was his sixth patrol with us. So we must be doing something right.
You sure are. These, as I said, they're life-changing events, and I hope all of you listening will give some thought to going on one of these patrols. They're just amazing. That's great.
Well, we're putting 2017 together, and I'm not going to say too much about it on this show, but a month from now, during our November show, we'll have all our ducks in a row, and I'm getting excited, and I've been going there to Europe almost 30 years, and
wow,
I'm really pumped up about what we've got hanging. We're going to nail it all down in the next few weeks, and so a month from now, we'll have some really, really hot news to put out.
Well, that's fun. I can't wait to hear about it. And I know before Harry left, he said this was going to be a special trip. When he got back, he said this was amazing. So we're going to do another program next week and cover up any holes we left tonight with new information, yeah, to bring it all together next Wednesday. So.
Right, and for your listeners, we're only able to show a small amount of photos on your show, but there's tons of photos on our website, sharkhunters.com.
Sharkhunters.com, and just write that down, sharkhunters.com, and go there and tell them, yeah, tours, and there are so many. You know, you can go back years and take these trips, and there's so much fun to do. Just for me to sit here, and I know a lot of you really enjoy it, to go on these trips, because we get to vicariously experience things that we otherwise never would.
Right. Yeah, and we're fortunate that that we can go places, not only the patrols like this, but also expeditions. We've got a couple of members who are very, very wealthy, and they help subsidize our expeditions, and they don't want their name bounced.
Well, these and those people, and bless you, all of you who help Harry and his work, because you're literally opening the doors to history in a way that,
yeah,
that no one else ever could. These are often expeditions of discovery. Harry is finding out more and more things about World War II and its aftermath, what really happened. And it's just an extraordinary thing to be a part of, and I'm very grateful to be able to join in and walk through this trip down memory lane, as it were. It's always fascinating.
Into the tunnels of time.
That's it. All right, well, let's load up here, and everybody, I hope you've gone to the photos link right below Harry Cooper's name at Rents, and load them up, and we will start on our patrol. This is going to be really fun. This is a two-parter. Again, I repeat, next Wednesday, another 2 hours with Harry on this, so we'll be doing lots of things then as well. Okay.
All righty, we're ready to go. Oh, incidentally, your listeners, you've been a member for quite some years. You got our magazine, And
just came out.
If any of your listeners want to either call or email us and say they heard us on your show tonight, we'll give them 50% off their first year's membership dues.
You're always doing stuff like that, and they're so generous.
We want to get the word out to as many people as we can. And as you know, I don't take a salary. Nobody at Shark Hunters gets a salary. We're all volunteers, and so I just want to get the facts out. And so many U-boat veterans, God bless them, they helped us in the early stages.
Uh-huh.
And so they knew we were telling the truth about them, and so that's why we continue.
Well, the respect you have gotten from them is very carefully given by them, and you've earned it in spades. So it's great. They're wonderful. Men of all flags. They fought, and this organization, this wonderful historical organization, Shark Hunters, honors all men, all flags, who fought, and in many cases, their friends and colleagues didn't come back. So it's an amazing thing.
Only one out of seven of the U-boat veterans came back, which is just unsustainable losses.
And at the end of the war, as you told me, they were still lined up around the block to enlist.
Yeah, that was the only oversubscribed part of the Wehrmacht. I'm sure they didn't know the specific percentages.
Right.
That one boat out of 10 came back from its maiden voyage. 9 out of 10 didn't come back from their first war patrol toward the end of the war. They just went out and got killed. But they continued, and you know, these guys had guts. They were not the least bit shy about doing the duty to their country.
The discipline and the commitment to Germany and their view of how the world should be was really second to none. And the part I like about World War II and studying in German history is the honor. You could call it chivalry in a way, but the honor with which many, there are always exceptions, but many of the people in the military held as their highest obligation. It's not like the hordes from the East. It's not like other groups. They had a different way of holding each other in respect and truly honoring the mission that they were on.
Right.
I just really am very happy to go along on these trips. So our first picture is of Munich.
Right. This is Munich. We generally start our southern patrol in Munich, and we take a tour of the city. And the first item and the second item, these were buildings that were built during the time of the Third Reich, and they're still standing. And that's not true for all of them. You look at the third picture, and that's our Vietnam vet, combat vet, Bill Napier, standing there by the foundation of what had been one of the two temples. Hitler had two temples erected.
Temple?
Yeah. It's supposed to be a godless Nazi, but two temples. And you remember the failed 1923 beer hall putsch,
sure,
where 16 of the followers were killed during the confrontation with the Bavarian police.
Yeah.
And their bodies were laid in state, 8 in each one of their two temples. Well, when the war ended and the Allies took over, the temples were torn down, and we're still trying to figure out what happened to the 16 bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that they had been buried in local cemeteries, but we don't know yet. We're still trying to figure it out.
Right. Let me go back to the first and second picture.
Yep.
It's just a visual statement that really carries so much weight with this. Look at that second picture. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah, and they patterned a lot of their stuff after the classic Greek architecture.
Right. And when you look at the pictures of Berlin that were supposed to be built, I mean, mm-hmm, that would have been the world's most magnificent city.
Oh, yeah, there were some incredible plans for that place.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't work out, though, unfortunately.
No. Did they make or try to make a miniature of what the plans called for Berlin to look like? It was to hold... Hitler was a visionary, among other things, in terms of architecture. He also was a very good painter and painted buildings beautifully. But he had the idea of the first enormous indoor arena for speaking events, for all kinds of things. We have them now all over the place, but his I think, held... It was going to hold up to 100,000 people inside. It was an enormous structure that was on the drawing boards.
Yeah, they had a lot of stuff.
Albert Speer, did it. Speer was the visionary of that.
Yeah, Speer was quite the architect, and he was one of the few people who did not have their homes on the Obersalzberg destroyed. His home is still standing.
Interesting.
As a matter of fact, we saw it a few weeks ago. We went by it.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay.
It's privately owned, so you obviously can't go up and knock on the door. Hi, can we come in and take a tour? No, it'll throw you out.
It's a very interesting thing. I did read Speer's wartime biography. I've forgotten the name of it now, but it had to do with him. Maybe it was not an autobiography, but a biographical accounting of what happened and what he said, and it was remarkable. Okay. So, we're looking at a temple-based picture of Bill Napier there.
Bill Napier, right, the combat vet. And the next picture below that, it's kind of a cute story. Two of us, myself and a fellow named Carl Joker, kind of peeled off from the from the group, sorry. And this had been the most important government building in Munich during the time of the Reich, and Carl and I were taking pictures of it, and this nice old man come walking by and had a grin on his face, and he says, "Das ist Hitlerbau. This is the Hitler building." And he just kept walking on smiling. So the old people haven't forgotten.
He probably was there as a boy and saw him.
Well,
you never know. Sure.
Yeah, the guy looked like he was into his 80s.
Yeah.
So he would have been a kid during, well, not a kid, he would have been maybe a preteen.
Sure.
So, yeah, he was probably in his early 80s.
Well,
nice guy.
It's too bad you couldn't sit down and have a longer talk, but these patrols are planned out and you got to keep moving. So,
yeah,
a lot of... Yeah.
The rest of the gang was yelling, "Hey, Cooper, where are you?"
A lot of the buildings are still there. They weren't all demolished in the war, although the Allies gave it a good rip. But there are some beautiful things there, and you get to see them when you go with Harry over there.
Unfortunately, yeah, war destroys a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Next. Now, you
next
always
photo.
Seem to have a blonde in these pictures, don't they?
This is Jeannie. She had... gotten a copy of our book, Hitler in Argentina.
Uh-huh.
She read the book and went to the website and said, "Hey, I think this is going to be a good tour." And so she signed up. She's only been a member this year. She signed up in 2016, and she was here with us. And the significance of where we're standing there,
mm-hmm.
this is in the famous Hofbräuhaus in Munich. And this is the third floor, which is where Hitler used to make his speeches. They could seat 800 people there.
In that room?
Yeah. It's bigger than what it looks like on the photo. And we had an interesting situation there, too.
Uh-huh.
Our guide there, a sweet lady, she's 78 years old. She's a retired guide, but she comes out of retirement every year for this one time with us. And we got there to the Hofbräuhaus, and remember, Oktoberfest is going on at this time, so the city doubles and triples in size,
mm-hmm.
population. And the line was coming out the main door. She says, "Oh God, Harry, we'll never get in there. It'll be at least an hour." So I went around to the side, and there was this huge big bouncer standing at the side door, and he said, "No, you can't come in here," in German. And so I started talking to him in Russian. Я вас прошу не русский подводник. He's what? What? And so I asked him in Russian if he spoke Russian, and he didn't know what I was saying. So in halting English, I said, "Do you speak English, товарищ?" Well, yeah. I said, "Okay, my group, we're hungry." Come on. He took us in the side door and got us up to the second floor where there was a set aside room, and we were seated within like 2 or 3 minutes. Nice
yeah.
man, very nice man.
You finessed him. And you had this beautiful blonde lady, Jeannie. You could have used her, but you used your intellect instead. All right.
Jeannie's a sweetheart. She was studying German so that she could go on this trip. And her German was pretty fair.
You know, that's really, I don't know if Jeannie's listening or not, but congratulations to her for doing this. That took some real commitment, and to decide to go, this is a whole new thing. That's great.
Yeah.
I really like to see people doing that. Not many people step out of line anymore, and this was a really nice
thing. Well, this is true. She had a great time, and she had some great things to say about it in our trip critique, which are on the website, sharkhunters.com. Go to tours, and you can read what Jeannie had to say about us. She was just a fun person. Everybody in our group was.
Harry and I were talking, and he said this was just a marvelous group.
Yeah,
they're all good, but this
we ever
yeah,
had.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
got along. There was no whiners, no complainers. No, just. You know, I wish I could run them through a photocopy machine and have attitude every time.
That's the kind of people you'll associate with if you join Shark Hunters. It's just a great thing to do. All right,
true.
Now that in the background of the picture over Jeannie's left shoulder, it looks like there's a stage back there.
Yep, that's the stage.
All right, and that's where the man gave his talks.
Correct.
This would have been what years approximately here?
Oh, in the middle 30s when he was rising to power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, even before that, because during the 1923 Beer Hall Putsch, I think a lot of his followers were here also. This is not where the
Well, it makes
out.
Sense. Yeah.
Right, but this building's been here for hundreds of years, and but then you see some of the videos and the films of him making his fiery speeches. They were all so many of them were here, and these were all in the 30s when Hitler was climbing to power
in that room.
So when the Reich got really powerful,
amazing. We're
going to
go. We're going to go through the break here. There's too much to see. So if you look at some of the old films and you see, I don't know if that archway would still be there behind on the stage, but it might be. Who knows?
I don't know.
That building is actually a couple hundred years old?
Oh, yeah, every bit of it. Everything there is, you know, 100, 200 years older than our country.
Well, we don't have that kind of history here. All right.
Not yet.
Let's move on here. From one form of beauty to another.
Schweinebraten with Kartoffelknudel. That's Schweinebraten, which is a pork cutlet marinated, and that golf ball-looking thing there, that's a potato dumpling. You just don't get a bad meal over there.
No.
And I lost between 5 and 10 pounds while I was there.
Wow.
You can't get a bad meal in Germany.
Good job. Okay, next picture. That's a color picture from the 30s.
That's correct. This was in the Zeppelinfeld, and that everybody's familiar with that stadium behind. And then the next picture down, that's the way it looks today. It has been pretty well destroyed. Partly after the war was over, the Allies and then the various governments there tore down the side wings you see in the color picture.
Yeah.
But this is what is standing, and now they've passed laws there that anything built during the time of the Reich cannot be destroyed, but they have not set forth any money to stabilize what's there. And my friend Michael, who's our guide there in Nuremberg, said that they have estimated it will take 70 million euros, which is about 85 million U.S. dollars, just to stop the place from falling apart. And my feeling is certain factions want it to fall apart to where it becomes unsafe, and then they'll say, well, we got to tear it down because it's unsafe.
Right. What events went there for our listeners and viewers?
Oh, yeah. God, all sorts of rallies during the days of the Reich. You remember seeing the films where Hitler would be making a speech on that one podium, and there'd be hundreds of thousands of people spread out in
Triumph of the Will, right? Lenny Riefenstahl.
Triumph of the Will was showed part of this. Mm-hmm. Leni Riefenstahl was a member of Shark Hunters until her passing. And what an incredible woman she was. She was a great actress. She was a gorgeous woman, but when she got into production and directing, she invented some techniques that are taught in cinematography schools even today.
Wow.
And if you really look at some of the films, The Lion King, certain scenes there were copied right out of Triumph of the Will. Jewel of the Nile, some of those scenes were copied right out of Triumph of the Will.
Well, genius is timeless, you know.
And it just, brilliant woman.
Yeah.
Tough lady, too.
So you got to spend time talking with her and exchanging communication with her while she was a member?
Yeah, we sent faxes back and forth. This was before the days of emails.
Yeah.
We wrote back and forth. And she sent me a signed photo, which I value quite highly. Nice lady. And she sent us the masters to a lot of her films that a lot of people don't know about. And your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com and click on store. And we've got about 160 DVDs that we offer. And about two dozen of them are from Leni Riefenstahl. Some star her. Some are produced by her. She was a good-looking dolly when she was a young boy.
Yeah. Okay, and the next picture looks like a side view.
It's a door.
And the back, or on the side, and you can see that, it's not being maintained at all.
Right, and then we'll cover that in a moment. That door, that's the back of the stadium, and that's the door Hitler would come in. There's a train station kind of behind where we're standing here, about 100 yards, and that's where his train would come in, and he'd get out and go in the back door here while the main part of the field was filling. And those people all had to pay money to be there. And so this is where he made a lot of his money. He was not a poor man towards the end of the time. People would pay to be in these rallies, to attend the rallies, and they would also buy his book, Mein Kampf, which I'm told is the second biggest selling book ever, second only to the Holy Bible. So he'd come in that room and through those doors, and you scroll down to the next picture and you see the golden ceiling. And so this room is called the Golden Room, and he would have receptions there. So while the stadium outside was still filling with people, he'd be in this room, chatting with whoever. And he always made sure that he was fashionably late. He was 15 minutes late before he would come out the door that only he got to use. And so by that time, everybody was at a frenzy. Well organized, well planned. So take a peek at the next one. And that's our friend Michael. He's a lieutenant colonel in the Army there, and had been a battalion commander, but now he's got other functions. Now, that is one of the two big braziers that sat on the two opposite ends of the stadium during those days, with the oil in it and the fire coming out of them. And
So they saved one or both of them anyway.
Well, they saved one. And just reason, we'll get to the other one in a few seconds. They just found the other one about 2 years ago. But this one is saved inside the building. And the building is starting to show its wear. We'll cover that in a moment. But here he's Michael's explaining how this was used, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next photo, we see some old propaganda posters that are just, I don't know what they're used for, but there's a bunch of them, and you can see more of them on the website. These are stuck into one of the offices about one or two floors up from the Golden Room, and they're in there. One of those offices was used by Hitler whenever he was in the area, but right now there's nothing in any of these offices.
So those are reproductions of wartime propaganda pictures mounted in that frame.
I imagine they're reproductions.
Yeah.
They might be originals. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They look. I can't imagine anybody reproducing them because of the way the government is over
Well,
there,
maybe they're legit. It could be.
Yeah, could be. Now, the other, I didn't put up a picture of the other brazier. It's outside, and it's all, but the pictures are on the website. It's all painted up pretty colors. It had been at a public swimming pool. It had been a kiddie bath, a kiddie pool.
Oh, too funny.
Yeah, but now it's outside, right by the door where we came in.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, there's weeds growing up through the cracks in the pavement there.
Yeah.
And I suggested to my friend that maybe you ought to get some weed killer out there. No, the Green Party won't allow that.
Mm.
It's cruel to the mm-hmm. plants, so they can only, you know, tear them off as they come up, but the roots are still there. And, you know, this will ultimately destroy the platform, which I'm guessing might be what some people have in mind.
Some people certainly would have that in mind. Now, so this brazier, the one we're seeing inside, the other one is back there now, but it's outside. They're both,
correct.
In other words, they're both there.
That's correct. There's only that wall separating them. This one is inside. The other one is just outside the wall.
Got it.
Behind where Michael is standing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painted all sorts of nice, gaudy colors, greens and blues, because it was at a swimming pool.
Yeah.
And it was a kiddie's pool.
All right. Well, that's nice that they're back home, so to speak.
True. It would be nicer yet if they had the money to.
That whole thing, we know, and I know, and I think everybody listening knows that it's an historical relic. It should be restored. It should be kept in perfect condition as a monument to history, not necessarily any ideologies. Let's just talk about architecture and the fact that life happened there, lots of life.
Yeah, it was a historic place. But unfortunately, even if everybody was all for preserving it, you're looking at a ton of money. Like I say, 70 million euros, 85 million Yankee dollars, just to stabilize it to where it stops crumbling.
Well, you've talked and we've looked at many other structures that really ought to be restored and preserved. But the way things are going in Germany now, I just had a story today that Germans are beginning to leave Bavaria, Germany, because of this insanity that's going on there.
Yeah, I understand Angela Merkel's political party got handed two pretty severe defeats
yes.
in the last few months.
Yes, yeah.
And she was quoted as saying, geez, if only I had known people didn't like all this.
Oh, come on, Angela. Nobody buys that stuff. She's
well, I know. Nobody believes it.
Doing what she was told.
Knew. Nobody was in favor of it. But
she's a communist.
Yeah, she was born and raised in East Germany. But we don't want to get off into politics. We could be on that for the next couple of nights.
Yeah, I can only hope that in the East, where not so many were killed after the war ended, I'm talking about, they may remember what it was like to be a German and stand up and deal with this issue, because it's getting to be very bad, not just in Germany, but all over Europe. And Merkel
it's
is
kind
a
of hard,
she's a liar. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Look at this country, for instance. Obama is trying to open the borders. What can you and I do?
He wants Americans to take these people into their homes. I wonder how many he'll take into his home. And if he did, how long it would take them to rape his two daughters, which is what's going on in Germany. And I'm not being cruel or facetious or judgmental. It's a fact.
Germany is becoming the second biggest rape area in Europe, I was told.
They have rape gangs there, and they have them in Sweden. They have them in Britain, too.
And if they're caught, they get fined.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to offend them because it, in their religion, their lifestyle, it's okay. It's okay. So, I mean, I can't even believe what anyway, let's move on here. All right.
Move on. There's Pretty Jeannie again. Somehow she always managed to get right into the lens.
She forced her way in there, did she?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Get out of the way, Cooper. I'm standing in front of this door.
Oh, okay. That's it, yeah. She's right up there. She's a neat person. Everybody was great there. And we've got pictures of other people on our tour standing in front of the door. This was just the clearest picture. And there she's smiling again.
Yeah.
Now, this is the door, excuse me, all the way at the very top of the stadium, facing out into the big field, Zeppelin Feld. And this is the door that only Hitler could use. When it was time, 15 minutes after the time he was supposed to start speaking, the doors would open, he would come out, and everybody'd go nuts. And as Michael was explaining to us, the way the stadium was laid out, he'd come out the door and he'd walk down stairs to kind of a base area, like he was walking down among the people, and then he'd walk up a few stairs to the podium where he would stand, like he was rising above the rest of the people. There was so much psychology in this. It was just great. I mean, it wasn't just a man making a speech. The whole shooting match,
that was choreographed perfectly.
Choreographed, exactly. Yeah. Well done. Well, beautifully done.
Wow.
So, well, we say goodbye to Jeannie.
All right.
And the next two photos, that's the so-called Hitler train station.
That's out in the back.
Yes, correct. About not even 100 yards away.
The trains still run on it, Harry?
The trains still go by, but they don't stop at this station anymore. It's now a restaurant, and about every 5 minutes there's trains rumbling by right outside your window, so you can, and with the old suitcases and everything up there, they make it look just like it was back in the 30s, and so you can sit there and have your lunch, as we did, and the trains will be zipping by, and let your mind wander back 7 decades.
That's
and
great.
It's just an eerie feeling, and you actually feel like you're right back into it again. Excuse me. So, and then I didn't put in a photo of our lunch there. I figure you're seeing enough of our food as we go through this tour.
Well, I always like to see food.
We eat our way through Germany one restaurant at a time.
You have many wonderful pictures of beautiful restaurants with lots of goodies. And
they have great places over there. And like I say, they're older than our country. We'll come to one shortly. The food is just incredible. And they don't load their cattle and their pork up with growth hormones.
Uh-huh.
So you don't feel all sluggish when you're done. And like I say, I lost between 5 and 10 pounds while I was over there.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
I ate good. And not only the Schweinebraten and stuff like that, but also ice cream. And,
the Admiral is not shy when it comes to food.
No, like I say, I lost weight. Yay, rah.
Yeah, that's good. All right, the Congress Hall.
Congress Hall. This was laid out, excuse me, almost like the Colosseum in Rome, a big round structure like that, more or less like a horseshoe. But you could take the Colosseum in Rome and put it down right in the parking area where we're standing and still have plenty of room. This was going to be a huge, big office complex here in Nuremberg, and it was supposed to have a gigantic, huge glass dome over it. And again, Spears architecture, but the war started, and so they had to stop construction on it. Really a kind of a shameful situation. This place was being used as a field hospital at the end of the war. And when the U.S. Army came in there, they went through and, you know, all the casualties, and they found 17 guys there who were Waffen-SS, which were the toughest combat troops of the war. They dragged them out into this courtyard and shot them dead just because they were SS, Waffen-SS.
Okay.
If you win the war, you get to do anything you like.
Yeah, including write the history of it.
Yeah, rewrite the history, but that's been going on since the beginning of time, I'm afraid, which is why we're getting a lot of pushback from certain areas like the Spitlickers, because we tell the truth, and we don't care who it offends. The truth is the truth.
Yeah, don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up.
That's for sure.
Is that big round building, is it being used today?
Not very much of it. There are plans to try to renovate it. There's one end of it that's being used as a museum, but it's one of these museums about how mean the Germans were to certain groups, so we don't even go into that museum.
Right.
You know, slanted history, you know, we're just not into slanted history. Real history, yeah. Slanted history, uh-uh. Just, that's fiction. We leave that to the History Channel.
There you go.
There. Incidentally, I just got word they're coming out with a rerun of that Hunting Hitler.
Oh, well.
Foolish show.
Yeah.
Which I can't complain too much, because when they came out with it last year, the sales of our book, Hitler in Argentina, skyrocketed.
Good.
So, yeah, people get to read the real stuff from us.
Yeah. All right, it's sharkhunters.com. Again, for all of you who may be new to this, and Harry takes trips a couple times a year, patrols, expeditions, South America and Europe, and some of the things in South America and in Europe. He hadn't even gotten to yet. Tons of things, in fact.
It's a learning experience. It sure is. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Next is castles.
This castle you see, and on our website it says, Tom Cruise does not live here. This is the ancestral home of the von Stauffenberg family.
Oh,
Klaus Schenk,
von
Stauffenberg, the guy that tried to blow up Hitler. This was not his castle. This belonged to his uncle Berthold at the time of the assassination attempt. But Klaus von Stauffenberg had visited the castle 37 times in the 2 years prior to the assassination attempt. And so Uncle Berthold was tortured pretty severely by the Gestapo. He was lucky he didn't get executed, but there were hundreds of people that, if you even were related, as a matter of fact, the brother of Klaus Schenk von Stauffenberg, his brother was an officer in the Navy. He knew nothing about the plot, but they gave him the piano wire hanging treatment too. So this was
that's what happens still in a failed coup. We just saw that in Turkey.
Yeah. Well, there's an old adage that if you try to overthrow the king, you must kill him or they'll kill you.
That's it. Yeah.
Understandable. You try to
sure.
kill the leader and fail, he's going to get you.
Yep. All right. So next picture.
Yeah, this is inside. We got a lot of photos inside. We did not take any pictures of the sign that says no photos. But this is the largest weapons collection privately held in Europe. And there are rooms full of weapons dating back from before guns were invented. And when the Allies took over, the Americans took over this section, only two pistols were stolen. Everything else was left intact. They didn't take anything.
I wonder why. Maybe somebody in the military happened to appreciate firearms collections and forbade it, otherwise it would have been looted.
Yeah, that's probably true, but, you know, they behaved themselves. They didn't hurt anything, and there's a lot more photos on the website of...
Where is the castle located, Harry? Is it up in the mountains, or is it...
Well, the castles, for some reason, I always find a mountain to build a castle on top of the mountain.
Yeah, that's what mountains are for.
Right. That's why I live here in the flatlands of Florida. I can't afford a castle.
But you have a Corvette.
I have a Corvette, yep, yep. It's a nice one. It's an old one. I got it 17 years ago. I got it the day after I got a phone call from my doctor saying, hey, my tests came back, and the doctor was wrong. He says, you don't have cancer after all, Mr. Cooper. So I went out, told my wife I was going to get a haircut, and I came back with the Corvette.
Good for you.
And I got a haircut a day or two later. But anyhow, on the website, there's a ton more photos of the castle inside and out, and everything else. For every picture you see here, there's probably 10 pictures on the website.
And again, go to sharkhunters.com and just look under tours.
Right. And if anybody wants to join Shark Hunters, like I say, if they email us or call us and tell us they heard this broadcast, we'll give 50% off the membership for the first year.
Nice. Yes. Okay. Very good. Now we have a turret. Vintage.
That's another castle nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Castle Weichenfeld. I don't know what it means, but they have games and tournaments there on the grounds. They've got the the archery range. We didn't see Errol Flynn or Robin Hood there. And this knight they have, their Ritter Fest, means the Knight's Fest. He looks like he'd be easy to defeat. The guy's got no helmet, and he's got no weapon. So you ought to be able to defeat him pretty easy.
Yeah, I would think so.
Again, this was on another mountaintop, and there are other photos that we took. We found a tunnel going down, not a hell of a lot in it, but if there's a tunnel, we got to go in it. And I did. And there's pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures of just about everything.
Well, when I have time, I'm going to go to tours and see more of the pictures. These are beautiful.
Yeah, make sure you have plenty of time when you get in there, because it'll just pull you right in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. I can't read that. It says 1419. Is that
1419?
Is that for real?
That's for real.
That's a 600-year-old building.
That was in business decades before Christopher Columbus set sail.
That's just hard to believe. Wow.
The next picture down it, in German, it says, welcome in the oldest bratwurst restaurant in the world. And here they only serve one thing, the little Nuremberger sausages, Nuremberger bratwurst, which are about the size of your little finger. And
do they have ketchup there, Harry?
Maybe they do, but most of the stuff... you get mustard with it. Spicy mustard. And you get six on your plate with this awesome German potato salad. And you get six of them on your plate. And they are so incredibly rich. I have trouble getting six down. And we have a contest every time we go there. Any Shark Hunters member who can beat the standing record by a Shark Hunters member, which was set by Steve Rhea 5 or 6 years ago, he ate 42 of these little sausages, and then he topped it off with a gigantic ice cream sundae, And people who try, they figure these are just little sausages. What the heck? We can, that's not a problem. Well, by the time they get done with six, maybe 12, that's it. They're done because it's really rich.
He spent the rest of the tour in the hospital, did he?
No, he was still eating all the way through. I'd love to see Big Steve back again. Come on, Steve. Sign up for next year.
That's amazing.
He was a fun guy. And his so-called trainer who sat next to him was Ed Hargrove, who cheered him on. Ed
his
Hargrove was a linebacker for the Steelers way back prior to the Steel Curtain.
There's an outside shot, then there's an inside shot, and then we're back outside again, right?
Well,
is that a different building?
Being the one with the red and white and red shutters.
Yeah,
that's the castle at Nuremberg.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's the Nuremberger Castle. There's actually three castles in one. They're built side by side, and that was originally under Austrian rule. And the Austrian colors are red, white, red.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that is the Austrian emperor was in the Turkish wars, and he came back one evening covered with soaked with blood from head to foot, and he had a big sash around his middle, which is where you stick your sword, and so his valet took off the sash, and so his white robe was still white there, so it was red with blood, and then white, and then red with blood. So those are the Austrian colors. And next year, there's a good chance, we haven't nailed it down yet, there's a good chance we may stay in the castle during our, that will be our hotel during the times we're in Nuremberg for 3 or 4 days.
Great.
We're nailing that down right now.
Oh, fun. All right. Okay, we have to take a break here now, and we'll come right back and spend another hour tonight with Harry. Remember, next Wednesday we'll do this again and finish at least some highlights of the tour. So stay tuned, and we shall continue.